And now for another installment of the stories of Grand Prix Dallas 2007, this...
What's your
name? My name's Shane McKenzie.
Henry.
From Indiana.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I saw you all day. How you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you? Chris Howell.
Yeah.
I'm recording for Top 8 this week.
Yeah.
I guess I thought you looked like it. Sorry.
Hey, man. I'll interview. Somebody thought I was Steezy back in Indiana, so that was okay.
We kind of look like him, that's
yeah.
For sure.
Hey, yeah, sure, I'll go across your Honolulu. That's okay. Yeah. Yeah, we drove 13 and a half hours to get here, but it was really 22 because we went to Mississippi instead by accident.
By accident?
I fell asleep and I was navigating. And I woke up and we were in Mississippi.
Nice.
So how'd you do this weekend?
Not so well.
Did you queue it up on Sunday?
No. My brain ended right around round 7. I played really bad after round 7.
I was X1 and I lost my last round playing Affinity.
Yeah.
It was a disappointing loss. I was supposed to win that match against Todd.
Yeah.
He just threw the fourth damnation and made my board again. Like, he had one turn. He has to play fourth round. He did. It was okay. So, have you enjoyed your experience?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is my 8th Grand Prix I've been to.
8th Grand Prix. This is probably my 6th or 7th.
6 of the 8 Grand Prix, I was one win away from making debut.
I think about 4 or 5 of mine. And then I played the 6 or 7, and then I've judged 2.
Yeah.
I judged in New Jersey, and I judged there.
That's cool.
Both of mine, not even close.
I did the side events for Grand Prix Denver. Kind of like what Mason's doing, the overnight events.
I did side events for all of day one in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And then I just split a 40 from Brian on
Rob Alexander worked for me.
Yeah. That's cool. Very cool.
This is probably my 46th print. One original. I could have bought Maloku. I didn't think about it. $500. And then I was like, oh, nah, it ain't going to go up. Especially as of $2,500 now. So.
Right.
I wish I would have bought it back then.
Yeah.
But
nice.
Do you like the field? Who you got in the finals?
It's kind of hard to say. Because I would actually kind of like... I want to see Paul Sheehan win another event.
I do.
Because not only the fact he's an American player, but because this is his third impressive finish in the past year.
Yeah. You know? He's been doing really well.
He was unknown, but pretty much an unknown force on NCGO until he won nationals.
Coming into the day, so. I was like, well, I can't pick against Kenji. And then when he got to top 8, I'm like, well...
It's kind of hard to choose against Kenji.
I saw the bracket, I was like, well, Kenji and Rafael Levy are going to have to play, and that'll be probably the most exciting match of the tournament, but...
Right.
I thought Kenji was going to win, but Rafael pulled it out, so...
Yeah.
It's an interesting finals. I mean, there's 150 people over there, and I've been in line for hours for an hour, so...
Yeah, so we've been unable to watch what's actually happening.
I have, like, 4 people over there watching, and then...
Yeah.
I'm friends with the head judge and one of the other judges that's actually over there, so...
Yeah.
I'll get the full details.
Right.
And then I'll just go ask...
All the juicy stuff.
Yeah.
You just how do you get the shirt? Is it just a contributor they gave it to you, or is it a special delivery, or is it earned?
I was up in New Jersey, and I just started talking to Brian.
Oh, okay.
And then I started talking to him all day, and Matt Wang.
Okay.
And I was basically hanging on Matt a lot that weekend.
That seems to be a cool guy.
I asked him what I had to be sure. He said they can't sell them or anything.
Right. And copyright infringement.
I was judging, and then did a podcast with Brian on Saturday, and then he said he could field report for us all weekend, so I did that.
Right.
And then he just gave me a shirt on Sunday. So
that's cool.
That was pretty nice.
That's pretty nice.
I was quite happy. I was kind of disappointed he wasn't here this weekend, too. I was looking forward to seeing him, because he said he was going to be down here when I talked to him in November.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. So I don't know if something came up or he just didn't make the trip, because he was in Geneva, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, he was indeed.
He was probably winding down from that stage.
I heard about a month ago that he wasn't able to make it, so... And in the end, only Marino was going to be here from New York, if they had.
Yeah.
Hey, why don't you do a shout-out to Top 8?
Shout-out to the Top 8.
Top 8 Magic.
I would love to give a shout-out to Top 8 Magic. They have done a lot for our Magic career in Indiana. They produced 2 state champions, and they're going to produce a 2-headed state champion this coming weekend. And myself, Chad McKenzie, and Casey Bennett win 2-headed giant state. So guarantee, right here, you're going to hear it first on TopEightMagic.com.
Exactly.
We'll dedicate that win to top8magic.com, and then we'll give them the report.
So you got any interesting stories you want to broadcast out to the world? Talk about?
Interesting stories.
You know, I can tell you this. There's an interesting story I still got to record, but yeah.
You go ahead. All right.
When back in Ice Age Blocking Circus, me and my then best friend, Alan Martin, and I were driving from Colorado Springs all the way out to Lincoln, Nebraska, right? Went out there for an Ice Age Blocking Circus qualifier. It was 2 slots back then, give it out. So we get there, we do well, we both miss out top 8 on tiebreakers, basically. Going X1-1. But anyways, on the way back, driving back, right?
Yeah.
Oh, dark 30 in the morning, like probably 3 o'clock-ish. We get pulled over by state trooper for speeding. Right?
I've been there before.
Neither of us has a driver's license.
Oh, wonderful.
We're driving a white, what's the term they used to use it? But it's a white van, there's no windows on it.
Oh, okay.
You know, one of those old clunkers, like, look like they're good 15 years old and worn out, has
like
no windows.
Yeah. Somewhere or something.
That or, the rapist van, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's even worse.
So, you know, all dark 30 in the morning, right? So we're driving back. So we get pulled over. Neither of us have a driver's license. We got a couch in the back. We ripped up everything. It was hollowed out.
I mean, just, you know.
It was hollowed out. We had a couch in the back.
Just enjoy the ride all the way.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was out. So I played dead in the couch, you know. So like I was dead asleep. The cop comes up, wants to see your driver's license and registration. Well, he gives him the registration.
No driver's license.
He gives him the state ID. The van itself is registered to his boss. It doesn't belong to him. So the cop takes us, goes back to the car, sits there for like 20 minutes, right? He's like, well, we have a warrant out for arrest of someone by your same name and zip code that you live in, and they have this scar on your right hand. I need to see your right hand. So he shows him his right hand. No scar. So he goes back to, like, thinks about it for a minute, and he goes back to the car, spends like another 20 minutes there, right? Comes back, is like, all right. I'm sorry for your confusion. Here's your ID. Here's your driver's license and registration. Have a nice day.
So you guys just kept there for now for no reason.
His scar is on his left hand. He did have a warrant. Neither of us had a driver's license. So dumbest cop in the world.
Wow.
He could have busted us both for driving illegally. He could have busted him for having outstanding warrants.
Oh my God.
And not even owning the vehicle we're driving in. And no way to prove it was given to us or any right to drive it.
But they didn't.
No, instead he decided to let us go free. Have a nice day. Nice. Dumbest cop in the world. And while I was waiting there, we were waiting in the van. He gave me all the money he had on it, because obviously one of us would have to bail each other out of jail, most likely, because I wasn't driving, so I'd have to bail his out of jail. But, yeah.
Just in case, you never know.
Yeah.
We were going to...
That's always great.
That's pretty good. I don't know if I could pop that one.
Yeah, the fact... Any competent cop would have figured it out. And the only thing he came down to, somebody told him on the comm, the wrong hand.
Wow. If he had just said the other hand, he would have been in jail.
Exactly. You know, competent cops, daytime, we have been thrown in jail.
I think the best one I got is we were going to Grand Prix Boston 2004. The week before this, we drive to Cleveland, Ohio to play a Grand Prix trial. Because my friend said he wasn't going to go to Boston unless he had 3 buys. And he had his rating was high enough for 1 or something at the time.
Okay.
Let's go to Cleveland. We can win this Grand Prix trial. Get in the car from Indiana, 7 hours to Cleveland, play in this 7-round Grand Prix trial. Win the Grand Prix trial, get the 3 buys, comes back, okay, well, let's book the hotel, get the hotels connected to the venue, drive our 17 hours to Boston. We get to Boston, we have no hotel.
And what?
We have no hotel whatsoever. So then we drive around Boston. Oh, getting to the hotel was even a better story because we're driving. And we get there, and we have directions right to it, and I'm like, I can see it. But we get on those loops, because every exit in Boston, you have to drive around a loop, and then just take the off-road.
Right, right.
There's 5 of them, and we took them all. We took all 5, because we take one, and then drive around Boston for half an hour, and we get back on it, and we take another one, and drive around Boston. We couldn't get the right one. Get the hotel finally after about 2.5 hours, have no hotel. So we basically wind up, we'll pay any amount of price, whatever room we got. We get this one king-size bed smoking room for 6 people, and it was like $200 a night. It was awful. We just talked to the hotel management, they cut it down to a normal price, and they said, we did find your reservation, so we were glad about that. So we get to the Grand Prix. And I got a bye operator, so I didn't even care. I was just playing, but I was more concerned about the PTQ the next day than the actual tournament. It was extended in 04,
right.
Super Bowl weekend.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we're in New England for the Super Bowl. That was great, considering I was from Indiana, and I was frustrated with them anyway.
Right, right.
So we got there, and I had one bye, and my friend Jason has three. My friend Jordan has no bye. He's playing alone. And I'm making fun of him the whole way for playing this deck. I'm like, this is not the deck to play. You should be playing Red Deck Lands. You should play the Goblin Welder deck because it was just now getting popular. Like, I think Gabe Walls was playing it at the time. He's the first one started playing it. He had showed it to us like the week before. So we get there and I start out 5-0. Friend Jason has three buys, starts out 3-2.
Yeah.
So I end the day and exit two, get like 69th or something. Don't make it. Jason winds up 4-4, doesn't make it. A friend who had zero buys, he's 10-0 through day one. So he's making fun of us the whole time.
Right.
Gets to day two, loses 5 rounds in a row, doesn't make the top 8.
Right.
So that's when the bad luck starts. Finally get in the car, start driving home that day. Flat tire 5 minutes after that.
Because he was actually playing.
5 minutes after we get on the highway, change the flat tire, get driving again, pulled over. Speeding ticket, get to Pennsylvania, pulled over, somebody else, different speeding ticket.
Right.
Get to Ohio, almost ran out of gas, make it to the exit, we're like cruising neutral into the parking lot. This is the worst trip home ever. It's like a blizzard in the middle of February. And then we get home and find out the Patriots win the Super Bowl. So I lose $50 on that game too. So, good there. I thought they were going to feature that Sunday. So that was the highlight of the 17-hour road trip.
Right.
It was awful. The infamous, well, everybody's standing there for the top 8, and we're just gathering next to reanimate. Oh, I don't have my surgical in the graveyard. I guess I lose.
Right. Oh, yeah, that event. I got talked about quite a bit on that.
Yeah, it was funny, because you noticed that Grand Prix, I mean, he qualified for L.A., and then you look at the L.A. standings, he was dead last.
Yeah.
I mean, not to fire him or anything. I mean, he's obviously good to get to the finals of the Grand Prix, but...
Sometimes you just have bad days, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, like Kai and Purple Columbus.
Right.
Yeah, I'm like a mini... around home, they call me like a mini Brian, because I'm like the magic historian of Indiana.
Right.
I know all about the pro tours and...
Yeah, I do a lot of the history.
I love the history of the game.
I love the history.
I love the...
You know who Jack Stanton is, right?
Yeah.
He's on the Hall of Fame selection committee, right?
Yeah.
He's that too. But, yeah, he's done lots of things with Magic.
And, he's
going to be an advocate for getting me on there, because he thinks I'm one of, like, 6 people who probably got overlooked in the original selection.
That's awesome.
I want to try to get on it. I asked Brian about it, but he didn't know if they would ever... When and if an opening would ever show up. But
who do you think's going to get in this year?
In the Hall of Fame?
Class of 07. Obviously, you know.
Obviously, Kai.
Kai's in there. If you don't, I think if you play or vote, if you don't vote for Kai, you shouldn't get in. Who's first ballot? Because a lot of people are like,
Kai will be. He'll be the automatic.
Like, well,
a lot of people don't game the system.
Everybody's like, well, I'm not going to vote for him because he's automatic vote, so I'm going to waste my vote for somebody else who has a chance of not getting a vote. It's like, well, if he's going to be automatic vote, that means you should vote for him too. But him or John, you know,
right.
I mean, they're in the class of their own. They're this year. I think John was better when John was on. He was more on than Kai.
Right.
You know, you can't argue with his
Kai.
Well, tournament.
I don't know. Kai was on another level.
He was.
Kai's on another level. Like today, Kenji, he's on another. There's the pros, and then there's Kenji.
My history of playing on the, you know, in the Grand Prix and the PTQ, you know, just being around the pro tour. I've never seen anybody like Kenji.
Yeah.
He's like a rock star. People just like, I think it's Brian said something. He's like a superstar, you know, just.
Yeah.
And New Jersey, he was just flooded around people everywhere.
I think Bueller will probably get him.
I think, if I could vote, I'd vote for Randy. I'd definitely vote for Randy.
Though he had one of the shortest careers.
I mean, he's still won, and he's now head of R&D.
Yeah. Not even for the game matter.
He's done a lot for the game and making it worldwide now.
Yeah. It's not just the pro tour, it's also contributions to the game.
I completely agree. He's first ballot for sure in my eyes. If I could vote, you know, I think I would vote for Chris Pecula this year.
I would love to see Chris Pecula.
I would love to see him in the first year.
Yeah. But the problem is now that he's not in, it's going to be much harder. He's going to have to pull off another win, probably, or at least another top two in a major event to be reconsidered, I think.
I think Carruth is up this year to get into the Hall of Fame.
I thought he was next year.
He might be
I thought Fujita was this year.
Yeah, that's it.
Fujita should be an automatic. And Tsuyoshi. The other one. Yeah.
The Japanese Senja and Magic is just amazing.
Yeah, they're in a...
They came onto the Pro Tour, and they're doing to the game right now what we did in 2000.
Right.
So, they are the bar. Here's the bar, and they're above it.
There's Kenji and Mori.
Yeah.
And everybody else is looking down at, or looking up at them.
Yeah, they come to American Grand Prix. I mean, first prize, if they win, like, $3,500. And they're like, well, we go.
They have to get appearance fees.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wish I was like Kenji, like, five maids.
Exactly.
Here's your hotel, and here's $1,000. That's showing up at the Grand Prix. Enjoy your weekend.
Yeah.
Be great, you know, and not to mention you don't win almost every time.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
My first Pro Tour was actually in this building 10 years and 2 months ago.
Really?
Yeah. That was my very first attended Pro Tour.
10 years.
10 years. 122 months ago.
My first attended Pro Tour was, actually it was in Nationals. In 2003, I want to say.
Oh, yeah.
Kansas City. When Nationals were canceled, that was my first pro event. That's when I first, that was a couple months after when we first started playing competitively. Where he's like, you want to go to Cleveland? Sure, I want to go to Cleveland Friday. All right. Shows up Friday. You ready? For what? Go to Cleveland. I filled up the car. We're going. Let's go to Grand Prix. I think it was 02. Grand Prix was 02. It was Odyssey Block Constructed.
Yeah.
Blue Green Madness.
That was the one Block Constructed format I actually decided to skip out on. I wasn't into it as much as I usually was.
It was pretty generic, honest. Not as generic as one Mirrodin Block, but...
Mirrodin Block was torture.
Yeah, when Osip won that Grand Prix, the risk we had for Affinity, that we had a guy go down there with three bars, and he had our list, and then just a list of his own. He played his list, and he made day two. He got like 45th. But our list wound up being one card off of Osip's. So if he would have played our list, maybe he would have been playing with Osip in the finals.
Exactly.
You never know.
No, no. One time, sometimes
he'd rather trust himself than the people that have been playtesting for, you know,
right.
6 months for the tournament.
Yeah.
Well, we playtested for this tournament since October. I think about October. As soon as we found out where it was, what format it was, we started playing. I don't know how much the new set affected the format. I didn't foresee it a lot. Damnation, obviously, considering that knocked me out of day two. Guy, if you're out there that knocked me out of day two, I'm mad at you right now. I could be playing Raphael Levy in the final, but no.
Right.
That's a
thing. Never know.
I hold no grudges because Karma will come back to me. Karma's going to come
exactly.
back this weekend, Two-Headed Giant. Do you like Two-Headed Giant? Do you like the format in general, as an overall?
Honestly, I had difficulty finding people who work with me as a teammate.
Really?
The last two team formats I've effectively played in was McCain Mass Team Sealed and Mirrodin Block Team Sealed. Those are the last two team formats I've been able to participate in due to people not willing to actually sit down and work with me. Or maybe I'm a little too butt-headed or too old school.
Like to be in control. I'm not sure. It's over.
It looks like it's over. So,
definitely over.
Levy did win the Grand Prix.
Raphael Levy did win Grand Prix Dallas 2007. Well, he's the first Hall of Famer to post a Grand Prix or Pro Tour win since being inducted.
Yep, that is true.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
Maybe one. All right.
Okay. Well, I think we're heading back to Indiana.
All right.
Okay. Coach Aragon. It was a pleasure meeting you.
Nice to meet you. Did I run your name again?
Chadwick McKenzie.
Chad McKenzie, okay. All right, well, good luck and have a safe trip.
Thanks a lot. Are you flying back?
No, we're driving.
You're driving? Yeah. How far?
Back to Colorado Springs, Colorado. Good 700 plus miles from here.
Yeah, it's pretty, it's about 6-7.
Congratulations on your win.
Thank you. What should I say?
What do you want to talk about?
Sure.
Huh? Feel free, talk. I don't care.
Okay.
Sure. This is Christopher Otwell with Top 8 Magic, and here with Rob Alexander, one of the more famous artists in all of Magic, having made many of the dual lands and some of the most played lands artists. Give a brief background of your description.
Yeah, whatever. I'll edit that later.
A brief description of my technique? Is that what you're asking?
That and your background.
And my background. Background's easier, I suppose. I'm Canadian. Grew up just kind of drawing and painting and doodling all my life. Was really not very good at it, but I really did enjoy it. So as I got going through school, I realized it was, you know, the only thing I could see still doing 40 years from now and still being happy with what I'm doing. So I just tried to sit down and really get serious about figuring out why my stuff sucked so bad and how to fix it.
Right.
And I did, eventually. And you know, that sort of, you know, led me into doing something. The first time I put my stuff up at an exhibition and actually sold something. You know, I think I made $3 more than it cost me to frame it and display it, but it didn't matter. The idea that I painted something and somebody else liked it and was willing to spend money on it, this is the best rush, and so I kept with it.
How long have you now been painting?
About 15 or 16 years.
Okay.
I started in my last year of school. I just ended up getting some freelance work, and about halfway through the year, I reached a point where I could either keep up with the classwork or the freelance work. Had to pay for one, got paid for the other, so stopped going to school and started freelancing.
What inspires you, some of the amazing landscapes that you produce?
It does very strongly come from the real world. I cannot go for a walk without getting some new ideas. I just get a barrage of information coming in from all the neat things that I see in the real world, and it just inevitably gives me some ideas for something.
You want to tell everybody how to best get hold of you in case you want to buy anything?
Website.
Which is?
RobAlexander.com. Okay. Nice and simple.
I'm there at least once a week.
Cool.
Very nice. Anything else you'd like to tell everybody else in general?
Nothing that comes to mind right now because I am so exhausted.
All right. Well, I'm sure this has been a glowing event. You must have had 1,000 people to ask you to sign things.
Something like that. It's been, I don't know how many thousands of cards, but it's been, you know, nonstop lineup all weekend.
That and you were the only one here the whole time. Well, thank you very much for the time.
You are most welcome.
I beat Julian in the finals of my draft.
Julian?
The world champion.
Nelson?
Yes.
Did you beat Julian Nelson?
Yes,
that's
the finals of my Russian draft.
World champion, right? He was one like a couple years ago.
Yeah, but why does it matter about former in this?
I wasn't trying to detract from it.
I beat a former world champion with cards I didn't even know what they were.
He was a 2000.
2002?
No, 2000 and let me think about it. It was 3 or 4. It was.
I had a great race.
2003 world champion. He won with green white Astro Slide, in the same. Event, the same format as Affinity existed in.
Well, congratulations on doing really well today, though.
Thank you.
You remember me from Naturals. You're doing you, right?
I remember a little thing.
Yeah. Podcast recorder for...
What website is it for?
Top 8 Magic.
Top 8 Magic? Or are you...
What is this website?
Oh, okay.
DDF website. Good. I actually turned on the recorder now. Want to introduce yourself?
My name's Jerome. I work for Jiffy Lube.
Okay.
I'm going to work on this guy's car.
That's
my mechanic. I brought him along with me.
Hey, you always have a good mechanic, right? This is like your third major finish in the last year since you became known to everybody.
It is, I guess. Worlds, Geneva, and this tournament.
And Nationals.
And Nationals.
So yeah. Four makes sense, yeah. So feel good, dude.
Yeah.
The weekend, you did really well.
So, yeah, this year I made it my goal to try to hit level 3 or 4 by the end of the year. So I'm making more of an effort to hit all the GPs and stuff.
Right.
You know, doing a lot of practicing.
What level are you at now?
My first Pro Tour that season was Kobe. And so I didn't really get an opportunity to try to level 3. I only got to play in two Pro Tours last year.
Okay.
But this year, you know, starting out in Geneva, I got 7 points there. And, you know, hopefully I can pick up some more in the future Pro Tours.
How many points did you get now for the...
I got 6 for this one and 7 for Geneva, so I have 13 already for the beginning of the season.
The beginning of the season?
Right, there are 4 Pro Tours and 4 more Grand Prix.
Right.
For 1 Grand Prix, 1 Pro Tour, I think I'm off the decent start.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad at all.
Bad.
Yeah, you get once you get 20, you're pretty much on for the next year, right?
That's right. I'm trying to hit 30, maybe more.
Get the real money.
Exactly.
So, rapidly making your name as one of the top 10 U.S. players now out there.
Yeah.
You used to be well known on the MCGO before Nationals, and now,
that's right.
Now you make something international figure, of course.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice.
you know.
It's been a very exhausting day.
Oh, I bet, dude. Yeah. This whole weekend's been exhausting.
Well, because we also stayed up till like 3:30 last night drafting.
Oh, yeah.
And then woke up at like 8:30. Was it 3:30?
Yeah.
And then we woke up, you know, and then
right.
did, you know, six rounds and then top eight. So, some pretty crazy matches.
Any interesting stories you want to get from the weekend?
I beat Psychopod with one card left in my deck, and it was Indrik Stompower, the card that we just added to the deck at the very last second.
For that match.
For the match. For the match.
For the match.
We were running out of time. I was up a game. Game two. He Honey Echoed my Terror Wars, my Balance, and my Burning Wishes away. Then he crypted me twice, and he had in play Counterbalance, Sensei Divining Top,
right.
and a Piping Needle on Seismic Assault.
Right.
And I managed to get six lands into my hand, and he was at 11 life. And I knew that the last card in my library was the one remaining Indrik Stompower. So for my draw step, I just flipped it over and said, all right, if you have it, you have it. Right. So he looked through it with the top, sacked the fetch land, looked again, didn't have it, and I won with zero cards left remaining in my deck with
wow.
no time to spare.
That's impressive.
Yeah. So once I won that match, and it's a terrible matchup, too. Once I won that, I thought, like, that was a good sign, you know. For the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that was pretty crazy.
What?
Did you get the interview right there?
Not ever got to.
Yeah?
No, Ted Skeeters and like pulled them off upstairs like immediately after y'all were done.
Oh, really?
So, I never got the opportunity. But, oh well.
Does he write his articles like, with, does Mike Flores, then does he have his articles in that website too?
Yeah, actually, BDM and Mike Flores own Topic Magic. That's their publishing company, actually. Because BDM's like putting out some books. This last year they put out Flores' book. Next year, in about 2 months, Zane Washowitz's book's coming out. And then John Finkel's got a book later this year coming out. But yeah,
it's a lot.
Yeah.
Alright, thank you.
At this point, dinner is going to be served, so.
Thank you.
Change the recording for the other side for a while. That was talking to Paul Cheon, who just placed second at Grand Prix Dallas here in 2007. His fourth major finish of his career now.
Yeah, they want me to tell you that again?
Huh?
Yeah. Go for it.
Okay. I got qualifier. I got, like, so tired. It's the next last round. I don't know. So every time I was thinking, like, all right, I got two losses. I'm just going to drop. So, like, they already took the paperweight.
Okay.
I was going to go off the train. So I was gonna walk. So they were just wet papers. I just had to walk up to the thing and say I was gonna drop, right? When I got there, standing in line to talk to the person, someone was asking about prices. So that's when I found out they were paying down to the top 40, not top 8. Like, I guess it's not prices.
I go back and do two more.
All right, so I decided to pay in. So I go back, walk around for a while, right? Because I made the decision to do that, I never de-sideboarded. So, you know, I was going to get to it.
But you lose game one then? You see it when you
lose game one? So, next round we play. I call myself on filling the D-sideboard. Right? And they give me a game loss, but because I called myself, the new penalty guidelines let you request downgraded penalties like that, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But they said that if they're not the new penalty guidelines, they're not actually mark first.
Oh, that's pretty odd. Well,
still mark first.
Oh, super. Nice. Oh,
yeah, nice.
Which I thought was BS, but...
That's awesome.
Yeah, you're right.
Dude, I want that. I'll keep that. But, so anyways. So, I get the game lost. I get smashed by a Boros deck running mold grains. Like, I'm pissed off.
Yeah.
So it's like, alright, fine, I'll sit around for a while. Do whatever. Come back next round. Right?
Evil Eye Herbor?
Next round, I end up pulling it down to like 5 against this person. I don't remember what he was playing. The last one I was playing. But it's like, alright, I play it really badly, and I get beat pretty bad, okay? It's like, alright. So, next game, I got in hand, I have like Maluko, I got Worship, I have what I need, right? I sack a land, take the light off, draw my card for the turn. Untap my land, draw my card. I forget to search for the land. And then it's like, and then right after that, I try to cast a spell that costs 2 with a chalice for 2 sitting in play. Immediately after that,
And then I put Atlanta to play taps, which makes it so I can't cast Maluka the following turn. Instead of paying the 2 life to put into my undead. Like,
you sat throwing your up anyway, right?
Huh?
He had Flora play, didn't he?
No.
Oh, okay.
And so it was again, like, get there back or a zoo deck or something. It was a beatdown deck. So I was like, I did that. I failed to find land. I screwed up with Chalice in play. I put a land in play tap, so I couldn't cast my Maluka. I was going to play that turn. And it was like a matter of like 2 minutes. At that point, it's like, I'm fine. I throw my cards in. I give up.
Wow.
I am so burned out. I don't know. I pride myself. I can't even think straight. I mean, I can't tell you the last time I had such a...
So we what?
Yeah, it was like 2 minutes. I can't tell you how bad I played that.
No, it was. They only had 8-4 drafts at that time period. They didn't have the other draft.
Was it 9-5 or 8-4?
I think it was 8-4.
Okay.
But, maybe it was 9-5. I don't know. This was about...
I would kill you worse.
3.5 years ago.
No money.
3.5 years ago.
Do you want to say it again?
Huh?
Say it again?
Oh, sweet. A friend of mine was playing in a 888 draft on Magic Online, and he drafted the card Murderous Betrayal, which is an enchantment for 3 black that says, pay half your life, round it up, destroy target creature. Well, he had to answer the phone, and he
that
was...
That would be an instant, not an enchantment.
No, it was an enchantment. There was an enchantment back then did that.
Oh.
You could read it.
It was in it was from Mercanidian blog.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wasn't very good then either.
It was in Mask, actually. It was in Mercanidian Mask. But he had to answer the phone or something like that, and he got up. And I reached around to the thing, and I clicked on his Murderous Betrayal, and it basically what that did was, and it's so, take a targeted creature. And he had the phone, and he comes back, and he just sits down, and he just clicks on, like, a Dredge Skeleton or something he had out in play, and it activated his card and killed him. He was out one line. And he just stood there in, like, dumb shock, going, what?
And the phone was probably stuck, going, what did you just do?
But it took everything I had to not die laughing.
Ah, you dumb noob. Yes, I'm not losing to a noob.
But yeah, I just got board control with a couple of creatures, and it was at standoff. Well, not board control, it was at a standoff, basically.
It won life.
He was at one. So it killed him when he did it.
Wow. Nice.
But the funny part was he clicked on his own creature. I don't know why you would do that. You wouldn't do that during your main step anyway, no matter what, unless you were going to play an activated ability. You didn't have anything that you could activate either.
You're just like clicking on something.
You didn't even think it was in combat.
That would have been even funnier though if you had like a pretty girl social or something. So he's like, I'm going to go use it. Click.
Exactly.
I probably wouldn't have done it if he would have had a creature on that he could actually use, because I would have actually thought he would do that. I thought he just noticed it said pick target. Pick target for what? Oh, no, a new? Like, nope, he was like, yeah, click.
It wasn't a target.
How many bracelets did you lose when you slammed your fingers in the door?
I didn't slam my finger in the door. The door got slammed on my fingers.
Your fingers were around your head and in the door.
This is Christopher Otwell. Thanks for listening to the Grand Prix Dallas 2007 podcast, co-hosted, I guess, with Paul Bradford and Patrick Smith, who you will probably hear more from in the future as well. I hope you enjoyed it. And with that, one last quote from Paul Bradford.
Repeat that one.
No, I think I just made myself sound stupid.